Brian Tonis, one of the ruling elders. It's my privilege to welcome you to our worship. If you are new to the church, or if you have been here before but have not done so, there is a connection card in the chair in front of you, and I'd ask you if you would put your contact information on there and drop it in the offering plate a little bit later so that we have a way of getting in touch with you. We would appreciate that. I have quite a few announcements for this morning. So first off, Pastor Keene is taking a break for today, and in his place we have Dr. Stephen Clark as our guest minister. He's actually preached here before. There's a little bit of information about him in the bulletin, but he is an honorably retired teaching elder in our presbytery. We're glad to have him back with us today. Today is the hanging of the green after the service, and that means the Advent season is upon us, as is Thanksgiving this week. So Wednesday the 26th, 6:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary, we're having our annual Thanksgiving Vesper service. So if you're in town, you're able to come, we'd love to have you as we give thanks to the Lord for all that He has done. Next Sunday, we did not get this into the bulletin, but it is the fifth Sunday. So as is our custom, the deacons take up a fifth Sunday special collection for the Deacons Fund. If you'd like to contribute to that, that'll be next Sunday. Also, we have communion weekly beginning during the Advent season. So for the four Sundays, we will have communion each Sunday that begins next week. And we are having a Christmas fellowship on the 12th of December at 7 p.m. We thought we'd suspend our golden movie night for this quarter, instead do a family Christmas theme. We're doing the Muppet Christmas Carol. And with that, we're doing a cookie exchange as well, if you want to be a part of that. So we'd love to have you if you can make it to that. And last but not least, I haven't seen him yet, but Alan Longfellow is moving to South Carolina for his new job with Boeing. Is my understanding today is his last day with us in Tampa. So if he does arrive and you're able to see him, be sure to wish him well as he goes on with this new chapter of his life. So with that, if you have your cell phones or anything else that would disturb us during worship, I'd ask that you would silence that now. And please stand for the call to worship. It is in your bulletin. It is responsive from Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Please turn your hymnals now to number 715. Come, ye thankful people, come. Thank you.
Father, we come before you this morning as a thankful people to praise you because you reign from heaven above and are sovereign over the universe. And yet, with all that under your control, you still concern yourself with every detail of our lives, even numbering the hairs of our heads. And you provide us with food, clothing, shelter, and above that, you blessed us with so many blessings, both material and spiritual, but most importantly, redeeming us from our sins and clothing us with the righteousness of Christ, who sits at your right hand. Father, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit to move among us this morning. Make your presence known as we seek to see Christ in him alone. Be pleased with our worship and bless us now as we exalt the name of our triune God. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Kristen, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The first scripture lesson this morning is Psalms 42 and 43. This will also be the sermon text. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me now in a time of confession. Father, we read in your word that you are holy, holy, holy. And yet we seem not to have any appreciation for what that means because our lives so often seem to be lacking in holiness. We don't always love the things you love and hate the things you hate. Our thinking and affections are often in line with the world and not shaped by Scripture. Forgive us when we fail to live up to the high calling of being a disciple of Christ. Help us now to examine our hearts, to see ourselves as we truly are, sinners saved by grace, and to repent from our sins. Father, hear us now as we confess to you silently. Now, through the intercessions of our Lord Jesus, Father, hear us as we confess to you together.
Almighty Father, we enter your presence confessing the things we try to conceal from you and the things we try to conceal from others. We confess the heartbreak, worry, and sorrow we have caused that makes it difficult for others to forgive us, the times we have made it easy for others to do wrong, the harm we have done that makes it hard for us to forgive ourselves. Lord, have mercy and forgive us through Jesus Christ, who reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forevermore. Amen. Hear the assurance of pardon from 1 John 1:8 through 9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Amen. The second scripture lesson is from 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 14. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, you will boast of us as we will boast of you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me now in a time of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, thankful that we're able to come here to worship freely. Thank you for living in a country with the freedom to worship, with the health that enables us to be here to gather corporately to worship you as our God. And we're thankful for all the blessings you've given this church. We thank you for the blessings in our individual lives over the course of this year and onward. Father, we pray that you will stir our hearts to seek you with our whole hearts, that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we would avail ourselves of the means of grace to draw close to you and live as becoming disciples of Christ. Father, we turn now to concerns within our world. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are being persecuted for the faith, for those in Nigeria and those especially in China who were arrested this past week for doing nothing more than making the good confession. Father, strengthen these people. May your spirit give them peace, and may your light shine through this darkness that others would be converted to you. And Father, we pray for an end to war. We pray for the war in Ukraine for a just end, and that you would strengthen the churches that are there trying to minister to people who are being attacked, and also who are homes that are split with men off to war and the stress that it's put upon them, Father. Strengthen them. And we pray for other places like Sudan with the civil war and others where tensions are high, like Gaza, Ethiopia, Syria, and even Haiti, which has been full of anarchy for a long time. We pray, Father, that you would bring peace and stability and good governance to these places. And we pray, Father, for the government in our own country. We pray for President Trump. We pray for our Congress and the courts. We pray for Governor DeSantis and our legislature. We pray for our local leaders. We pray, Father, that they would do right, that they would seek to govern in a godly way, that you would put it in their hearts to fulfill your will. And we pray for our nation. We pray for a spiritual awakening among this country. And Lord, we pray that you would revive the churches of this land, that you would stir us by your Holy Spirit to light us on fire, to go out into the world and make disciples, to be the light on the hill. Father, we pray for the Presbyterian Church in America. We pray for the search for a new stated clerk and a new coordinator for mission in North America. We pray, Father, you'll raise up the right men to serve. We pray for Southwest Florida Presbytery, especially the church planting efforts we have going on in Pasco County, Tampa Heights, and Bartow, Haines City, and Lake Wales. We pray for the church planters and the finances, and we pray that you would add to their number and that they would bear fruit. We also pray for the smaller churches that struggle. We pray, Father, that those ministers and sessions, that they would be faithful to you in whatever situation you've placed them. We pray, Father, that that you would bless these congregations. We pray, Father, for Christ Central Presbyterian. We pray for our staff. We pray for their families. We pray for our elders and deacons and their wives. We pray for the marriages. We pray, Father, you would sustain all of us to be faithful in serving this church. We pray, Father, for the closing of the sale of our excess property. We pray that it would happen soon and that you would bless this church with the ability to do ministry from those proceeds, give us wisdom to be good stewards. We pray, Father, for our search for an assistant pastor of outreach, that you would raise up the right man in your time. We pray for the various ministries we have in this church. We pray that you would add to our number, to grow our youth and our children. For our ESL ministry, that you would raise up more volunteers willing to serve joyfully here in this local congregation. We pray for the Spanish ministry, for Luis Prieva, this morning as he leads the Spanish service. We pray for his family, for Janet, for Isabella. We pray, Father, that you'll have put the fundraising in place for us to continue and that this ministry will bear fruit. We thank you for the four who have applied for membership just this past week. And we pray that many more would come as we see a true multicultural ministry take hold here in our church. Well, Father, we pray for our missionaries, for the Davalos, for SIEATN, for Aldo Mondin, for Dave and Paige Haas, and Don and Leah Vanderplug, as well as the Florida Church Planning Network. We pray, Father, that you'll sustain these works and that your gospel would go out through them. We pray for our members who are homebound, for Ron Quick, for Pat Barton, and Eileen Colley. We pray, Father, for Denny Michael Bedronsky with his cancer diagnosis. Father, we pray that you'll heal his body. But most importantly, we pray that you'll give him peace and draw him close to you in this time. Father, we pray for Ed Sellers, who's been struggling with shingles as well as autoimmune disease. Father, heal his body, we pray. We pray that he'll be able to come and join us again for worship soon, as we know he's missed being here. And for others in our congregation with chronic or ongoing illnesses, we pray for Becky Yu, for Judy Smith, for Gail Ryer, Marcia Craig, Sherry Waugh. And we pray, Father, for those still recovering from illness or accidents like Sheila Colbert, Lenore Ball, Tara Pilecki, Matthew Downing, Jimmy Sue Kaiser. Pray, Father, that you would bring healing to them and help them to get back to a normal life. Father, we lift up Ken and Betty Pothoven, both dealing with cancer. And for Tori and Allison Seif, we pray, Father, for your blessings on the Pothoven family and their extended relatives, that you would work grace in their lives. And we pray, Father, for the Edwards family and the loss of Rob's father, Lou Edwards. We pray for your grace on them as they mourn for this dear man. We pray, Father, for Melody and Christopher Waugh, that you'll bless their pregnancy, that Melody and the baby will be healthy, and that you'll prepare them as their first-time parents. We pray for those continuing to seek employment, for Logan Clapp and Glenda Williams. Father, we pray that you'll provide the right job for them at the right time, and to help them to wait on you as you do so. And Father, we praise you for Alan Longfellow's job and for the new opportunity he has. We pray for him as he makes that transition, that you'll work in his life and bless him. And Father, we bring all these petitions before you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The third scripture lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand now for the offertory hymn, Jesus, with thy church abide. The words are in the bulletin. Father, we thank you for everything you give us daily to sustain us and prosper us. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would move in the hearts of each one of us to be generous and obedient in giving back to you a portion of what you've entrusted to us as stewards. May we do so cheerfully and with thanksgiving, trusting that you'll bless these tithes and offerings to the glory of your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Please stand for the doxology. Well, thanks to the pastor and the elders for the high privilege of bringing God's word to you this morning. It is a special joy for me to be able to do so. We are going to be looking at Psalm 42 and Psalm 43. For some reason, they're split apart in the Psalter, but just about everyone believes that they really are one psalm, as we shall be seeing. It's printed as the first lesson in the bulletins, or of course we would love if you were following the Bible
And we're going to be reading all of the Psalms again as a part of the sermon, and I will mention the verses especially as we go along. Let's pray. Lord, as we hold up your word in our hands this morning, may we see our face in it and understand who we are and what it is that you have done for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just think about this. It's over 2,500 years since this psalm was first written. And still the people of God are reading it and are singing it. And still the people of God, as we look at it, we find it resonating in our hearts and just ringing in our minds. The words are just unforgettable. As pants the hart, the deer for cooling streams, when heated in the chase, so longs my soul, O God, for thee and thy refreshing grace. It's a powerful image. It's the picture of a deer perhaps being chased by dogs or whoever it is that's trying to get after him and to kill him. And he is now desperate for water. He needs something to drink. But all the ponds and all the water holes have dried up. And in his desperation, he lifts his nostrils, as it were, up towards the heaven and begins sniffing for some still flowing stream, for some still living stream where he can get some water. The prophet Joel also described this times in Israel's history as this: even the beasts of the field pant for you because the water brooks are dried up, the forest devoured the pastures of the wilderness. We know what this is like, don't we? We've been there. We are there. Perhaps we've been disappointed in so many ways and in our lives. Perhaps overcome by depression. Perhaps the sins of the flesh have taken a hold of us, or our addictions have all but destroyed us. Disappearing hopes, devastating circumstances that have all but broken us. And we find ourselves panting after water in a dry and barren place. Or, as is really in view in this text, we find ourselves longing for the cause of Christ in the world, for the church, when in light of everything that surrounds us in our culture, there are times when everything seems all but lost. And then, to make matters worse, when we are in this desperate situation, suddenly we discover that around us are not just people who don't intend to help us, but are people who actually will for us evil. We can hear the voice of the accuser saying to us, "This is not working out so well for you, is it? My tears, verse 3, have been my food day and night. While they say to me all the day long, by the way, where is your God?" Now, whether it's nostalgia or more likely it is something in his soul that simply refuses to die, he remembers the good times of the psalmist, and he looks back and he remembers the time when they would chant and sing, and in a great congregation, a great throng would go up to Jerusalem into the temple of the Lord to celebrate the festivals that reminded them what God had done for them in the past. To go up to the altar where the blood of the Lamb was sacrificed for the sins of the people, to understand that the great festivals spoke of what God was yet going to do in his history of redemption on our behalf. And he says in verse 4, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul." How I would go up with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. And whether it is the soul that just refuses to die in the midst of a dry and thirsty land whenever things seem to have gone wrong about us, or I think it really is that deep in the soul there is a hope that refuses to die and is still able to say, and the first time this refrain is going to be repeated 3 times, verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. And then the psalmist begins to share with us some of the details of his personal life and why it is that he finds himself here. And what it turns out is that he is basically in exile. It appears that the enemies of God, the Babylonians, for example, have been surrounding Jerusalem, and he's been pushed out. He's had to get out of town. He has lost everything. And so he says, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Firma and from Mizar. The strange thing is, though, that when getting out of town, he's had to go up to the northern parts of Israel, and he finds himself up in the mountains, places 9,000 feet high up in the mountains, places where the glory of God can be seen everywhere. As he tells us, he looks westward, and he can see the mighty waves of the Mediterranean beating in. And he looks eastward, and he can see where the streams, the fountain of the Jordan, the beginning of it is beginning to bubble up. And instead of being just absolutely swept away with the glory and the magnificence of God, and the understanding that right there are the very streams that are bubbling up, for which he longs to drink of, as it were, he finds, and this has happened to us too, hasn't it? That even in the most pleasant of places, we lose all perspective. And the mighty waves and the water springing up seem to appear to him a fearful force and a frightening chaos. Deep to deep calls to deep, verse 7, at the roar of your waterfalls, and your breakers and your waves have all gone over me. And yet, even having lost all perspective, and yet, the hope that is in his soul refuses to die. He looks back again and he remembers, verse 8, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life. But still, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. And they say to me all day long, this is the second time it is repeated for emphasis, where is your God? And yet, despite this, hope refuses to die inside of his soul. And for a second time, we're going to hear it three times, comes the refrain. And I think this time there is perhaps a slightly greater hint of defiance in the way he says it. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And then Psalm 43 opens. And here something really begins to change. It's like a door on its hinge. And something new begins to turn and something begins to come up. And instead of looking inward during the whole first psalm that we have just read, looking inward into the maze that is inside of our minds and of our hearts, and from which if we keep hanging out in there, we will never escape. He suddenly begins to turn, and he suddenly begins to look outward, and he suddenly begins to look upward, and things begin to change. It's in verse 1 of 43. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge, but why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And that still sounds somewhat self-absorbed. But if we sharpen our focus and see what he's getting at in the next verses, we'll understand that he's actually beginning to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because what he begins to tell us is that what he is longing for, the vindication that he's calling down from heaven now, has everything to do with the temple courts, the place where he used to go, the place where he used to serve. And he's getting caught up now in something bigger than himself and his exile up into the mountains. He's getting caught up in the kingdom of God and the purposes of God. And he's getting caught up into that for which we have been made and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This is what he says. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with a lyre, O God, my God. Come on, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us go up to the temple and allow us to sing there again and to see your mighty purposes coming to pass. And yet, his prayer is not going to be answered, or at least certainly not in the way in which he expected it. The same enemies, perhaps the Babylonians, that have caused him to flee up into the mountains to hide from them, those same enemies are going to take Jerusalem, and they're going to destroy it, and they're going to take the temple, and they're going to tear it down again. And yes, in time, the temple will get rebuilt, but with nothing of the former glory that it had in Solomon's time. Its great architecture, its gold and its cedars will all have been gone. And as in Jesus' time, when he goes into the temple, it is just a shadow of what it used to be. But to hear his prayers answered, he would have to go now into the temple in Jesus' time. And there in the temple, he would have to meet Jesus teaching. And there he would have to hear John the Baptist, John the evangelist, tell us, his disciples remembered that it was written in Psalm 69, "Zeal for your house will consume me." If our psalmist longed for God's purposes to be fulfilled in his life personally and corporately in his world, when he came to Jesus, he would find someone who had that same zeal, that consuming zeal for your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in going into the temple, he would see Jesus standing there at the end of his ministry in this great moment of climax, proclaiming, "Destroy this temple," pointing to his body, "and in 3 days I will raise it up again." And that's how his prayer will indeed be answered. In the prophet Ezekiel chapter 47, when he is looking forward to what the true temple will really be like when it is truly renovated and becomes new. He describes it as having a river of living water that flows out from underneath it and out into the world, bringing forth trees and fruits of every type for the healing of the nation. And John tells us, now we're really getting to the great moment of it all. John tells us on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, out of his innermost being, will flow living rivers of water." Now this he said about the Spirit, with whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When the psalmist longed for a drink of living waters in a dry and thirsty land, it was really for Jesus that he was longing. And it was really for the Spirit of the living God that flowed out of the Father and out of the Son that he longed to reach down and to drink. And believe it or not, Paul, the great apostle, is going to turn around and is going to tell us and talk to us about the church, about Christ Central, about Presbyterian Church in America, about the Holy Catholic Church throughout the whole world. And Paul will say this, you, and the word in the Greek there is plural, to use a good southern term, you all, you, plural, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that means that because you all here are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that river of living water is flowing around us, in us, and through us right here, right now, and in this place. Yes, on one level, we may still be in exile, as the psalmist was. After all, Peter, in his great epistle, in the very first verse, describes us as exiles and aliens in the world. Yes, we may be dispossessed. Yes, we may be discouraged. Yes, there may be things for which we have longed and which we have not yet seen. Yes, there may be things that we hope for our church and for the church in our world that we do not yet see. But yes, Jesus is the true temple. And His Spirit is flowing out to us and through us and in us and in among us. And what we need to know this morning is that when we find ourselves cast down and all but destroyed, it's to Jesus that we come. Because we will see Jesus go into the garden. And we will see the anguish of the soul of Jesus to a much greater degree than the psalmist has shown us or that we have ever felt. As he said, Lord, in this anguish where he is sweating, as it were, blood, he is saying, let this cup pass from me. And yes, in this moment when he needs others to be around him, his disciples will nowhere to be found. And yes, when he is on the cross itself, there will be those who are going to taunt him. Aha! You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Guess what? He did lay down this body like a temple destroyed. And it was raised up on the third day in all the glory of the original temple with the Holy Spirit and His glory flowing in Him and through Him and out of Him. And yes, you and I can come to him this morning, and the writer to the Hebrews says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you feel deserted by your family? Go read the Gospels and see Jesus' brothers and sisters being no help to him at all. Whatever it is that is threatening him to undo us, whether it be our sins, our addictions, our declining income, our disappointing hopes, whatever it is, Jesus has been there before us and he truly, really understands. And more than that, the writer of the Hebrews goes on and tells us, and he is not ashamed to call us his brothers. Can you imagine that? In all our pathetic despair, in all of our falling short, in all of our missing the mark, he is the one who comes to us and says, I have been there. Putting his arms around us, he says, I am with you. and I will hold you. And as the writer to the Hebrews says, he is the one who is able to save us to the uttermost, to the end. Why? Because he ever lives to pray and make intercession for us. In the anguish of our souls this morning, it is to Jesus that we come. And I have to tell you, in the anguish of our souls, it's not how well we come to Jesus. We come and we think we've not done this very well. He's never going to reward us unless I learn to come to him far better than I am able to come to him. Why, when I clean up all my sins, then I can go up to the mountain. No, it is while we were yet sinners and out in the wilderness that he came down from the mountain, and he came down and he found us. And all that is necessary for us this morning, this is in the desperation of our thirst, in the desperation when we see the living waters flowing, we stoop down and we drink, and we are refreshed, and we find his grace once again. If you've never done that yet, this is your morning to understand that he is the great temple, that he is the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for our sins, that he says to us, come all you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. And so here we are now, we find ourselves this morning in the worship of the people of God, in the temple courts of the Spirit, believe it or not. And here, as the psalmist had longed to go back to the temple courts and to hear the playing of the lyre and to hear the singing and to grab a hold of the horns of the altar where the lamb was sacrificed for the sins of the people, here we are finding once again ourselves in the presence of the Lord and bringing the deepest anguish of our souls to him to discover the prayer of the psalmist being answered. I have myself time this morning to share with you a little testimony, something wonderful that has happened to me in the past week when my father was much older than my mother. His first wife died and he had to marry again. I have to explain that or it won't all make sense to you. And I remember Sunday lunch after worship, my father praying for his grandchildren, and some of them were actually older than me. And I said, Daddy, why do you pray for your grandchildren but you never pray for your three daughters? And he said, Son, I taught my three daughters the gospel. They are not teaching my grandchildren the gospel, which is why I pray for them. He had five grandchildren. The first one went away to college, very prestigious school, did remarkably well, got into trouble, and turned to Jesus Christ, and has just retired after over 40 years as a pastor. The second oldest grandchild was an only child and obnoxious. Hope he never hears this, don't tell him. But the first one led him to the Lord, and he ended up being the director of a homeless ministry in All Souls Church in London, John Stott's famous church. The third one, my granddaughter, has come to Christ. She was on the phone with me this week sharing how her and the fifth remaining grandchild, how they've been praying, in this case for my brother. They've all come to Christ after my father had died. What I want you to know is his promises and his purposes never fail, even if we don't see them now. 35 years ago, I counted it out carefully to make sure I am being accurate on it. 35 years ago, I was at the home of my cousin, who we call Auntie because of this generation gap, and she was brokenhearted telling me how her son had drifted away from the Lord, and not just drifted away from the Lord, but had no interest or desire in anything in the ways of the Lord. And I said, Auntie, and I told her the story. My father praying for his grandchildren, who we saw right then coming to the Lord. And I said, I promise you, I will pray for him. She's dead now. This last week, my remaining half-sister died at 104 years old. And her son, the one who ministers to the homeless, called me and said, Auntie Lucy's son was there. And he told me he's come back to the Lord. 35 years. Not the power of my prayers, the power of God's promises and the power of God's purposes. And that when we, like the psalmist, are caught up in them, he will never, ever fail us. And he will accomplish what he has promised, and he will do what he has purposed. And in that this morning, no matter how it is we feel or where we are, in that this morning, we may be absolutely confident. And so the psalmist ends. It's the third time now we're going to hear the refrain. I think the first time tentatively. I think the second time a little more defiantly. But I think the third time and the last time as he ends the psalm, I think he prays it confidently. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you still in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him. Do you hear me? For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Lord, how awesome you are. How loving and how condescending to lay aside all of your glory and to be clothed truly in human flesh, to come among us in your humility and in your poverty, to walk where we walk, to be obedient where we have been disobedient, to die where we should have died, and be raised again on the third day to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you that you will never, ever leave us nor forsake you. Come now, Holy Spirit, among us, and cause that these truths, which are your truths, may flow out among us like living waters, and that we may drink of them again. In Christ's name we pray.
Our closing hymn, number 726, Spirit of the Living God.
For you. May the peace of God, which really passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen. God bless you. Amen.